Welcome to the Divided Kingdom, the cutting-edge news program many of you have come to know and trust since 2003. Lou Caverly and I, Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly, are coming to you live on Global Star, Wednesday evening, September 13th at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, we are on WWCR.com and on their shortwave, 4.840 megahertz at 8 p.m. That's Eastern Time also. And you can hear our program repeat Saturday mornings, 8 a.m. on 7.490 megahertz. And on Mondays, 4 p.m., and that's Eastern Time, on 9.350 megahertz. Actually, first, we want to thank a few of you wonderful listeners, all of you, really, for your love and prayers to us. And we certainly needed them. Lou had first a miracle from natural healing and God's healing of his gum infection. And then Monday and yesterday, he had a sudden acute health crisis that thankfully God eased with the help of an old friend and some very caring ER medical personnel. And what a nightmare it really was for about a day and a half. But you see, listeners, God always triumphs, and he never gives us more than we can bear. I well know this after the almost unendurable 18 months that I spent crippled and in agony with Lyme disease. Never doubt that God is good. And many of you have helped us so much that we just are so grateful, and we keep you in our prayers. Let's please keep praying for Brenda. Let's pray for Dr. Cuddy's total healing. Let's pray for that doctor in Pennsylvania who needs his health improved and needs to have more work. Let's just keep praying for each other. Many of you need the prayers. Many of you need help with finances. And remember, an old friend of ours long ago, she said, the Lord will not be outdone in generosity. And we find that's true. When you help others, suddenly it's like a boomerang. It comes back to you. And we do need some help to stay on WWCR. We only have a few weeks left till we must pay our bill for October. So if some of you could consider, without robbing your family's needs, a check for $100 or one for $200 or several gifts of $50. It could be in money order form or it could be a check. That's our biggest need at this time. And you can write it out right to WWCR. This would be just such a great help to us to stay on air, because we have a lot to tell you tonight. And you know, you get things here that you can't get anywhere else, certainly not in the mainstream media. And tell others to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com. DividedKingdomRadio.com. Go into our archives and hear the programs that were so important in August and into September. Do tell them. Do tell them to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com. Send any help that you can to keep us on WWCR to Lou Caverly, L-O-U-C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland. And the zip code is 21609. And again, that's Lou Caverly at P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And you know, we don't have commercials that you have to endure every 3 or 4 minutes, like many networks of Patriot work. So we're going to just jump right on here. We now must look at an essay that came in to view just recently. It was September 13th, Susan Estrich's latest column with the headline, Proud Boys Got the Sentence They Deserved. And it tells the usual lies that Black Lives Matter, BLM, protesters are, quote, this is according to Susan Estrich, mostly peaceful. And that's contrasted with, quote, violent assault on the Capitol. People. Estrich admits,
in the past 2 weeks.
Oh, welcome, Lou. We're all so grateful that you're in much better shape and not in torment today.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth.
We all love
you. I certainly am grateful, too. Well, Susan Estrich admits In the past 2 weeks, four of the leaders of the Proud Boys, who planned and executed the January 6th assault on the Capitol, received long prison sentences, ranging from 10 years to 22 years in prison. Those sentences were denounced by two of the leading Republican candidates for president. On Tuesday, Vivek Ramaswamy, responding to the sentences, tweeted, quote, "This is wrong, and it's sad that I'm the only candidate with a spine to say it," unquote. In a statement on Wednesday...
Where was Trump? Where was Trump?
Yeah, I wonder. Don't see his name here.
No.
In a statement on Wednesday...
Braveheart is missing.
Apparently.
You're Braveheart.
That way.
You're Braveheart. You
are
so stoic. I was so proud of you. Go ahead.
In a statement on Wednesday, he also promised, and this is Vivek Ramaswamy speaking, he also promised to pardon, quote, "all peaceful, nonviolent January 6th participants," and he continued by saying, "America now has a two-tiered justice system. Antifa and BLM rioters roam free, while peaceful January 6th protesters are imprisoned without bail," unquote. Governor Ron DeSantis took a similar attack in an interview with Newsmax on Wednesday, speaking of some of the protesters, quote, "They just walked into the Capitol. If they were BLM, they would not have been prosecuted." And the Proud Boys leaders were charged with a seditious conspiracy, defined as two or more people plotting to overthrow the federal government by force. If that isn't a serious crime, and now we're back to Susan Estrich, I should mention, if that isn't a serious crime, what is? They got the sentence they deserved for conduct that threatened the very heart of our democracy.
The heart of our democracy? Phooey, Lou. What hurts my heart is when I have heard that the wonderful American patriot, Joe Biggs, got a prison sentence. Joe fought for our country in that illegal war in Iraq. And then when he came home, the despicable VA of that era denied seeing him for health care. This went on, I think, maybe. They had told him they wouldn't see him for 3 years, I believe. This was so absurd and vile. And at this time, poor Joe Biggs had constant bleeding, stomach issues, constant, probably bleeding ulcers, I would imagine. And there he was. At the same time, he wasn't moaning and lying on a bed. No, he was a Braveheart. He was on the Alex Jones show. He was doing investigative research. And now that he has been imprisoned, where is the voice of Alex Jones crying out to support his old colleague? It seems to be silent, just the way it was when those FBI and CNN and everybody came and surrounded Roger Stone early in the morning. Again, he was an old colleague of Alex Jones. Aren't we put here to support our brethren in the patriot movement? I think so. But at any rate, we are moving now right on. Lou, last summer, 2022, you recall, you reported on wind farms off the coast of Ocean City and other environs, and there were a few lawmakers, like Representative Andy Harris, who were concerned about these injured beached whales. And Lou, we're in a pretty weird time. Things are getting so crazy that some of these hardcore radical Democrats, even some of the ones in the media, these apologists, are starting to have to take notice of a few things in this environmental movement that are kind of frightening.
That's for sure, Elizabeth. And we've been covering all these amazing events, like the Lahaina fires. Lahaina fires, the possible use of DEWs, direct energy weapons, there, and the missing children. And tonight, we have a crucial to you news blitz. Our title is The Great Reset's Assault on People, Money, Animals, and the Environment. First, I have some important news from the Northeast. And it's vital that you all keep your eyes open in the days ahead. Just like those wiser people in Maine who refuse to accept the blockading, I should say in Maui, who refused to accept the blockading but swerved around them to safety. A good friend of Elizabeth and me lives in the Northeast, Carter. So we get news about Maine, Vermont, Massachusetts, even Canada. This friend alerted us a few months back that Vermont was becoming a state to invite persons in from other states to have assisted suicide.
And I have to interject there. We haven't had time with everything happening in Maui, in Lahaina. Now that's how we really think we pronounce it. But at any rate, it doesn't matter how it's pronounced. It's so horrible. But we haven't followed through. We have to report on that Vermont situation. Now, pick up. This letter is just a bombshell, Lou.
Yeah, so as Elizabeth said, we need to follow through more on the Maui situation. But now, we are pretty well sidetracked by the need to cover the Maui fires. We need to get more information on that. Well, it looks like our friend this time is pinpointing some perhaps ominous developments in Massachusetts. Here are some of the latest signs of the times, and I'm reading now from this letter. Last week of August, I'm out in the morning to pick up what passes for a local newspaper up here, and what do I see? In the vicinity of the local fire station, a small white pickup truck with red lettering on the side saying, American Red Cross Disaster Relief. It had a red license plate with white numbers and letters. And she asks us, have you seen anything like this down in Maryland?
Hey, that's the color of fire.
It is, yes.
I just thought of that. Go ahead.
And my answer to her, just to interject, is, no, I haven't seen anything like that in Maryland. Continuing with the letter, when I saw it, my heart sank, and I thought, they're planning something. Then yesterday, September 1st, a radio station broadcast that Massachusetts Governor Mara Healey has called out the National Guard to make sure the illegal aliens currently being housed in local motels and hotels, and more to come, I hear, have sufficient access to food, transportation, medical care, and education. Who cares about the American citizens tossed off their own properties? Let's just cart in more Central and South Americans and Haitians and drown Massachusetts in a people avalanche, as that's what this is. Did you know Massachusetts is the only state in America to have passed a right-to-shelter law that includes illegal aliens? You may remember that old 60s TV show The Invaders, starring Roy Thinnes. Well, here they are, decades later. Was that series an example of subconsciously pre-programming the public? Now for the shocker. I heard this on the Jim Polito show yesterday, September 1st. He broadcasts from 5 to 9 a.m. on 580 a.m. in central Massachusetts. His first cousin is Karen Polito, who was Massachusetts Lieutenant Governor in the previous administration. So, anticipate this one. On Wednesday, October 4th, 2023, around 2:20 p.m., the U.S. government will activate an emergency message on all cell phones nationwide that will cause them to vibrate and give out a certain tone. As Polito said, but it will say this is only an emergency test. This is a test of how well those cursed, in my opinion, microwave towers are working. Now they wouldn't do all this unless something was going on behind the scenes that we don't yet know about. Surprised? God knows I was. When the war atrocity against the American people was allowed to occur on Maui, what came to my mind was TV journalist Brian Williams' last words to the United States broadcast audience upon his retirement. And here are those words of Brian Williams. They're going to burn it all down with us in it.
I think that deserves a repetition, Lou. The final broadcast words of Brian Williams.
Yes, on TV. Quote, they're going to burn it all down with us in it. And this letter writer goes on to say, I was amazed they let that come out on air. But it must have been because they wanted Americans to hear it. Even as I write this, I can't believe such a nightmare is now reality. When I heard the nationwide cell phone test is to occur at 2:20 p.m., I immediately thought, isn't that the time the Declaration of Independence was either decided or signed to give birth to the nation? But it was 2:20 a.m., not p.m., as they debated well into the early morning hours. If memory serves, doesn't the $50 bill with Ulysses S. Grant on it, or is it the $100 bill, that shows the clock on the tower at Independence Hall at 2:20? So what are they hinting at? 2:20 a.m. to 2:20 p.m.? Like our country has come full circle to its end? I say, not yet.
And we have to interject that the Illuminati, the New World Order, likes to do things on certain dates. For instance, April 19th, which was Patriots Day in your old neck of the woods. We had Waco. We had the Murrow Building. Things that happened. Because what was the original April 19th, Lou?
Battle of Lexington and Concord.
And that was what? Was that what they called?
The beginning of the revolution.
The shot.
Yes, go ahead.
You go ahead.
All right, the shot heard around the world.
Yes, so you see there's a mockery of our freedoms, but pick up the letter.
Yes, before I forget, and this again is the letter I'm reading from, before I forget, I heard on the Howie Carr show that there's a motel on the Cape in Yarmouth called the Yarmouth Resort. The Yarmouth Resort is occupied by older Americans paying $300 a week to live there. But Governor Healey says the state will pay $700 a week if the owner will fill the resort with illegal aliens. You can guess. They gave the American occupants 3 months to find a new place, one an 89-year-old. And that ends that very interesting letter. So now, all right.
And I think now we move right on. You know what I said to you about these journalists? Some of the ones even on the left are beginning to wake up a little bit.
That's right. And we had read that little short piece from Susan Estrich a few minutes ago, and it seems that like she is one of the ones waking up to a few things that threaten us all.
So we're not going to mock her Brooklyn accent right now. Go ahead, Lou.
That's right. And this is a journalist we sometimes mocked, but amazingly, in this one column, Estrich.
Just get into it, Lou.
We
aren't going to spend any more time on her accent.
All righty. And the title of this one, which was written or at least published on September 1st, Friday, 2023, An Ill Wind Blows with Revolution Wind. On August 22nd, Revolution Wind was approved by the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, or BOEM. The Biden-Harris administration hailed the approval of the fourth major wind turbine project. According to the U.S. Department of the Interior, the project will be located about 15 nautical miles southeast of Point Judith, Rhode Island, and have an estimated capacity of 704 megawatts of clean energy, which can power nearly 250,000 homes. A group of concerned citizens pointing out that they will not release the biological opinion from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, is up in arms. And it gives a website that you can go to, green-oceans.org. Green-oceans.org. Revolution Wind is one of nine developments slated for the area off the coast of Rhode Island and Massachusetts that will install over 1,000 turbines, each 873 to 1,100 feet high, over 1,400 square miles of ocean. The four closest projects to Rhode Island, Revolution Wind 1 and 2, South Fork Wind, and Sunrise Wind, will severely damage Cox's Ledge, one of the most fertile marine ecosystems in New England. Cox's Ledge is a terminal glacier moraine, a complex geological formation that supports a diversity of marine species equivalent to a coral reef. Teeming with life, it hosts the endangered North Atlantic right whale during the winter months and is the only remaining spawning ground for the Atlantic cod. The construction of hundreds of turbines with miles of inter-array cables will demolish this ecosystem. The developers chose Cox's Ledge for financial reasons. Constructing turbines in shallow water costs less. If offshore wind projects could actually mitigate climate change, one might reluctantly accept the destruction of this unique ecosystem. However, the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, the agency tasked with permitting these projects, acknowledges in their environmental impact statement that they will have no, and this is in quotes, no measurable influence on climate change, unquote. These projects will still require 100% capacity of backup electricity generation with natural gas power plants. Rarely discussed, the European experience demonstrates that offshore wind does not reduce reliance on fossil fuels, nor does it diminish carbon dioxide emissions. Instead, the intermittency of the wind causes traditional generators to operate inefficiently, producing less electricity with greater emissions. According to the citizens group Green Oceans, the offshore wind developer of the projects on Cox's Ledge, Ørsted, has misled people about the impact. The company maintains two sets of visual simulations. The viewer cannot discern turbines in the publicly available version, yet in the confidential version, one can. Moreover, the developers will not release 25 out of 51 technical reports to the public, including the emergency response plans, the air emissions calculations, and even the economic benefits to Rhode Island. Why hide the economic benefits in a confidential, Freedom of Information Act exempt appendix? It's a David against Goliath fight. Listen to the administration and they'll say, we're helping Rhode Island meet its renewable energy mandate, and that it's building a clean energy future. Listen to the community leaders and you'll hear passionate opposition to the status quo, determination to fight the well-financed opposition, and a desperate effort to save the ocean. Who do you believe? How can you afford not to take a second look? Check out this website, green-oceans.org/white-paper-1. And let me see now.
And we have to get into the Maryland situation, too. I believe you have some things on that, don't you?
Yes. Well, I have Maryland, and I have some things on Alaska. So first things on Maryland. MDA pilots new nutrient plan policy. This was July 5th, 2023. Farmers, extension, worry about added costs and personnel development. A recent Maryland Department of Agriculture announcement has concerned local farmers and agricultural professionals. A well-established and respected program to help farmers comply with nutrient application and reporting will be discontinued and privatized, MDA Secretary Kevin Addix announced June 1st. According to Maryland law, most farmers must comply with regulations about how much nutrient material, fertilizer, and manure they can spread on their fields, and they have depended on University of Maryland Extension county advisors to help them prepare their nutrient management plans, or NMPs. Quote, nutrient management plans detail the optimum use of nutrients to minimize nutrient loss while maintaining crop yields, unquote, according to the MDA website. Goes on to say farmers are required to follow nutrient management plans when fertilizing crops and managing animal waste. Current county extension advisors will lose their jobs August 31st because the MDA will no longer fund the nutrient management program through the University of Maryland's College of Agriculture and Natural Resources. The shift in the program, quote, will focus on a new approach to education, training, and farmer empowerment, unquote, the June 1st MDA press release stated. The new program moves to an options-rich model, that's in quotes, an option-rich model, and provides, quote, new incentives for farmers to succeed as strong stewards of the environment, unquote. The new approach, while eliminating the University of Maryland's extension direct help in writing the complex plans, forces farmers to hire consultants or be trained and certified to write their own. And here we have a quote. I am shocked and have concern the time and expense farmers will endure as a result of this decision, Shannon Dill stated in an email. She is the agricultural principal agent with Talbot County Extension. Caroline County Extension agent Jim Lewis said the changes will affect 40% of the farmers in the county. And he said, quote, unless something changes, they're either going to have to pay somebody to write their plan, or they're going to have to learn to do it themselves. Especially, that ends the quote, especially for smaller farms that use manure as well as fertilizer, the cost to hire someone to write the plans has to be figured into their profitability. For more than 30 years, they had relied on free assistance from MDE professionals with specialized software. And I'm just adding this where, we're more concerned not so much about the cost of the, quote, complex plan, but about the content. Is this to be another tyrannical way to restrict fertilizer, CO2, and eventually cause farms to fail and help engineers with world food famine?
And these engineers are the World Economic Forum and so many others, who want to push us into those 15-minute cities. Yes, what else, Lou?
And that ends that article.
And I think...
We also had one about Biden.
Did I talked with you there about when you bought your car, your 2008 Chevy Impala? We saw this going on with the oystering. I don't know whether that's in your notes or my notes here. You don't see that there, probably.
I don't see it.
Well, at any rate, you recall that we had a really nice young salesman, but he had been off the water for 3 years. So this is in the year 2011 when you're buying your secondhand car. And he said even at that time, he had found, what would you describe it, some kind of a thing on his boat?
I think he described it as an electronic monitor of some kind.
Yeah, like a surveillance. I think it had a camera,
like
didn't
that.
It?
It may have had a camera.
I think it had a camera.
Yeah.
So, of course, we were doing our radio work by then, so we were very interested. And from time to time, we see things that look like they're deliberate to fail, modifications they want to do in the oyster beds. They go out and they do things. And, see, this is all coming out of the government. And, of course, we have a new governor now who was a Rhodes Scholar. And we could all go back to Dr. Dennis Cuddy's book to see what that means, all these connections back with the Round Table and Cecil Rhodes and the plan. So we really have to look at these things. What's going to happen here to the farming? Are these farms going to fail? Well, now let's move on. I think we are getting into this assault by the Great Reset on the animals, the plants, the people. Don't you have something next there coming up, Lou?
Well, I have Biden administration cancels remaining Alaskan oil and gas leases.
Wow. Okay.
And this was dated September 7th of this year from Juneau, Alaska. In an aggressive move that angered Republicans, the Biden administration canceled the 7 remaining oil and gas leases in Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge on Wednesday, overturning sales held in the Trump administration's waning days, and proposed stronger protections against development on vast swaths of the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska. Here we have a quote. Alaska is home to many of America's most breathtaking natural wonders and culturally significant areas. As the climate crisis warms the Arctic more than twice as fast as the rest of the world, we have a responsibility to protect this treasured region for all ages, Biden said in a statement. His actions, quote, meet the urgency of the climate crisis and will protect our lands and waters for generations to come, Biden said. Alaska's Republican governor condemned Biden's moves and threatened to sue. And at least one Democratic lawmaker said the decision could hurt indigenous communities in an isolated region where oil development is an important economic driver. And I'll just add, another thing I have to comment on was Biden's statement, as the climate crisis warms the Arctic twice as fast as the rest of the world. My PhD in biochemistry brother-in-law informed us after an early spring 2023 trip. That spring, the ice melting was happening at least later than the last 20 years that it ever had. So it doesn't sound like the climate change is very much up there.
And that was in Alaska, actually, in Maui, too.
Yes, both.
Yes,
so that's correct.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, I think we go to you, do we? Is that right, Elizabeth?
I think maybe we do. Did you talk about engineering the world food famine yet? I think there's a little bit more. Don't you have something there about engineering the famine?
Oh, I have about the U.S. food processing plants destroyed in 1 year.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And the number of such plants was 1,900. And this appeared on April 29th, 2023, and it was from tapnewswire.com. And it begins by saying, I'm sure all these food processing plants being destroyed are just a coincidence. I'm not sure if that is a worldwide number. I believe it is. Even if that is an exaggerated number, it is still disturbing. Excuse me, disturbing. That was signed by Jim Crenshaw. And we have a second response. While this is disturbing news, TAP, in the short term, it may facilitate the return to small local companies that will be more answerable to their customers and less likely to contaminate produce with chemicals. The enemy is destroying itself as well. Then a third comment. Hi, Ned. One thing I notice is that most farmers, though very capable of farming, are quite as gullible as the rest of the folks. In the old days, in order to sow, for example, barley, you plowed in the autumn or winter to let the vegetation that you turned under die down. Now, however, you graze sheep on it until spring and then spray with Roundup. Plow it and sow it and all it in days. Same if you're growing potatoes. The farmers love it, as do the agrichem folks, and the WEF as they're poisoning us useless eaters.
And, is that the end of that one?
That's the end of that one, yes.
All right. And again, listeners, we're telling you things here because we're really watching in the hinterlands that you won't get anywhere else. So we do need your help to stay on WWCR in October. So if any of you can write a money order or a check for $50, $100, or $200, send it to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And you recall on our last program, we told you about one of our listeners who has a pastor whose three sons live in Alaska, and there are fires burning there, too, because he said they can't see to drive a lot of the time. So now we're moving right on to this agenda, this hidden agenda to take away our food, take away our land. Exploding grain silos, our latest tactic to destabilize the world. I believe this was from TrueNews.com, and this was August the 10th. Mysterious fires at food processing companies occurred in many places throughout 2022. Now, Lou told you, 1,900 at least. This year, it is exploding grain silos. Is somebody trying to destabilize the world by disrupting the global food supply? Two large explosions have occurred in the past 2 weeks, one in Turkey, the other in Brazil. We'll start with a spectacular explosion at a wheat silo in Turkey. So we're just giving you basically the headline on that one. And then we're moving on to InfoWars, August 15th, Ben Warren, breaking. Biden set to announce climate lockdowns, rationing of energy and food. Well, listeners, in the dog days of August, we had rabid dog politicos all foaming at the mouth with insane climate change tyranny threats. Aren't you scared? These blowhard ideas were really, just as I said, scare tactics from the media and all those foundations, the UN, the Democrats, and I don't know who else. President Joe Biden, the article says, is set to sign an executive order declaring a, quote, climate emergency that would grant him powers to enforce tyrannical measures like lockdowns and a rationing of food and energy indefinitely. The Biden administration's move to shut down the country's imminent According to insiders and experts who are all reporting a recent and uniform surge of climate alarmism from the mainstream media, top Democrats, the United Nations, and environmental groups, quote, the signs are there, said the Heartland Institute, while citing the White House's cooperation with the UN to create a climate emergency webpage. The science is clear, reads the new UN page. The world is in a state of climate emergency, and we need to shift into emergency gear. Where's Greta Thunberg when we need her? She had gotten overweight, got a little too chubby, I guess, for them to use as their little puppet. But now we also have to move on. Far-left Brazil president says he's investing in the new global government. We'll cede national sovereignty to UN under climate emergency. This is Kellen McBrain, again, InfoWars August 10th. Recent comments made by Brazil's far-left globalist president, Luiz Lula da Silva, are going viral. As the leader who stole the election from populist former President Bolsonaro explicitly stated he will allow a global government to supersede his own nation's constitution. Then we have coming up this headline, world's top climate scientists declare green agenda is a WEF depopulation scam. This is the People's Voice headline, August the 28th. It told it like it really is. Two of the world's top climate scientists have spoken out to warn the public that the green agenda being promoted by the World Economic Forum and the globalists are part of an elaborate hoax to depopulate the planet. And then we have Ethan Huff writing July 14th, 2023, this headline, climate lies. Top climate scientists say they were ordered to, quote, cover up truth that Earth's temperature hasn't risen in 15 years. And I'd have to interject, that sort of supports my brother's observation that spring came later than in 20 years, the latest in 20 years that had ever come there in Alaska, I guess, with the melting ice. So this article says, for the past 6 years, the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, that's IPCC, has been diligently compiling an authoritative report on the full extent of man-made global warming. And according to a leak, it apparently shows that global temperatures haven't increased in 15 years. The hundreds of esteemed scientists who worked on the report confirmed that 1998 is still the hottest year on record. Ever since that time, temperatures have either generally remained the same or declined, blowing major holes in the government's global warming narrative. Politicians who obtained a leaked copy of the report are now trying to cover up the fact that, based on its findings, man-made climate change is a hoax. And once the truth gets out, everything governments are doing to go, quote, green, will also be exposed as nothing more than a power grab. The Associated Press, AP, obtained leaked documents about the matter, showing that the political establishment all over the Western world is freaking out about the report's findings. Some are even calling for portions of the report to be redacted or deleted so the truth remains hidden. And there's a little follow-up to that. Ethan Huff again, September 1st, more than 1,600 scientists signed declaration no climate emergency exists at all. Not everyone in the field of science has abandoned the truth that carbon dioxide, CO2, and other greenhouse gases are good for people and planet as opposed to bad. More than 1,600 scientists, 1,609 as of this writing to be precise, belonging to the Global Climate Intelligence Group, CLINTEL, signed the World Climate Declaration in August declaring that man-made climate change is a myth. Contrary to the leftist narrative, there is no, quote, climate emergency, which means there is no need to abandon Earth-based, quote, fossil fuels like gas and oil in favor of loud and unsightly wind turbines and Chinese-made solar panels. There is no climate emergency, CLINTEL says. Climate science should be less political, while climate policy should be more scientific. scientists should openly address uncertainties and exaggerations in their predictions of global warming, while politicians should dispassionately count the real costs as well as the imagined benefits of their policy measures. Related, the climate crazies are begging Biden to declare a, quote, climate emergency so he can instantly become dictator of America, which in many ways he already is. And there's a little bit more here. Warming is happening far slower than predicted by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, wrote Naveen Athrapali in a report for the Epoch Times. As we have been saying for quite some time now, CO2 and other greenhouse gases are good for the planet. CO2 in particular is essential to all life on Earth and is extremely favorable for nature and the actual greening of the planet. Climate models have many shortcomings and are not remotely plausible as policy tools, the coalition warns, adding that these same models, quote, exaggerate the effect of greenhouse gases and, quote, ignore the fact that enriching the atmosphere with CO2 is beneficial. Though they repeatedly try to denigrate it as a pollutant, the climate coalists are getting it wrong, and more wrong every time they refer to CO2 as some kind of planetary scourge that must be removed if we are to have any chance at survival. And we could go on in that article, but you get the general idea. Now we have to think about that the real goal of the Club of Rome that they ordained long ago was to use the environmental movement as a mechanism of control. You see, to eventually depopulate the earth and seize the common people's lands. Here's a top corporation mouthpiece telling us that this shocking kind of directive is, I guess, a part of banking? Gateway Pundit. This is April 7th by Margaret Flavin of this year. J.P. Morgan's Jamie Dimon, we may need to evoke, and I believe that he meant to get the word invoke, eminent domain to seize private property to build wind and solar farms. And we'll just give you a little bit of this letter. He wrote an annual letter to shareholders. The window for action to avert the costliest impacts of global climate change is closing. At the same time, the ongoing war in Ukraine is roiling trade relations across Europe and Asia and redefining the way countries and companies plan for energy security. The need to provide energy affordably and reliably for today, as well as make the necessary investments to decarbonize for tomorrow, underscores the inextricable links between economic growth, energy security, and climate change. And he goes on to say, to expedite this progress, governments, businesses, and non-governmental organizations, we interject there, that's the UN groups, you see, that would replace elected officials. They need, according to Jamie Dimon, to align across a series of practical policy changes that comprehensively address fundamental issues that are holding us back. And so, you know, we get to that headline that he said. He said, at the same time, permitting reforms are desperately needed to allow investment to be done in any kind of timely way. We may even need to, and again, he has the word evoke, but we think it's invoke, eminent domain. We simply are not getting the adequate investments fast enough for grid, solar, wind, and pipeline initiatives. We could go on and on, but I think that's enough of him. And I think now, perhaps I have one more, I think I have two more to just talk about. We want to get Lou talking about the money situation. Yes, the World Economic Forum, LifeSite News, there's a headline, there are solid reasons to implant children with microchips. This was last summer, a year ago, this came out of the World Economic Forum, and they thought that this could include things you wore, exactly, the implantation of children, they said was desirable for safety reasons. Of course, we've heard that before with animals. And then this year, there's an update from the World Economic Forum a year later. Let's hear what they're saying. We might as well tell them, out with it, And they have obliged us. This is not merely putting chips in children. And this, I guess, was the people's voice. And this was August 21st. WEF declares dramatic population collapses good for the planet. The World Economic Forum has declared that the dramatic decline in the world's population is good for the planet because less souls on Earth means less pollution. If that was a quote, again, as an English teacher, you don't say less souls. You say fewer souls on Earth mean. It should be mean, not means less pollution. Now we go to Lou's important coverage that extends to our money. Lou.
Yes. Now, this was the story on July 24th. The headline read, "Developing, nearly 100 banks are set to close in the coming weeks." This was from the website endtimeheadlines.org. Nearly 100 bank branches are set to pull down their shutters for the final time in the next few weeks. The closures come as a number of major high street banks move more of their banking services online. Data from Link, L-I-N-K, the UK's largest cash machine network, reveals dozens of banks are set to close branches between July 24th and August 31st. HSBC, Barclays, NatWest, and Halifax are among some of the major banks who will be impacted. According to The Sun, Barclays is closing 29 branches between now and the end of August, while NatWest is pulling down the shutters on 19. Meanwhile, Halifax is shutting 2 branches and HSBC 27 branches. And now in a somewhat companion article, we read this. This was the story on August 7th in the UK, according to Arsenio Toledo. Debanking spree. UK banks are closing more than 1,000 accounts a day with little explanation. This appeared on August 7th this year. Banks in the United Kingdom are closing more than 1,000 accounts every working day. The figures come from an audit conducted by the Financial Conduct Authority, the UK's main financial regulatory body. The audit found that just over 45,000 accounts were shut down by banks from 2016 to 2017, amounting to around 170 accounts shut down per business day. The number of bank accounts being shut down has surged since then, climbing to over 343,000 accounts in 2021 to 2022, well over 1,000 accounts per business day of the week. And in a related article, you can look to this one. British banks are now closing the accounts of clients they don't politically agree with. And here we have a quote. "They are coming for your bank account, my friends," warned Josh Sigurdsson of World Alternative Media. And he continued by saying, "Banks are shutting down up to 1,000 accounts a day. Children are now being denied bank accounts because of their parents' political involvement, which is insane." And Sigurdsson warned further, quote, "We are in a world of hurt if we as individuals do not stand up to this today, because your bank account will be shut down eventually for, quote, wrong think," unquote. British media had previously reported that when bank accounts get closed, the individuals or organizations owning the accounts get little or no explanation as to why. Banks can release statements at certain times for why certain people or public individuals or organizations shut down, but these statements will only be made on a regular basis for shutdown accounts allegedly involved in financial crimes. And moving on, it continues. UK politician and pro-Brexit advocate Nigel Farage, who in late June went public to the British press about his experience being debanked by British bank Coutts, and C-O-U-T-T-S it's spelled, noted that he used a subject access request to discover that, despite initial denials by Coutts and his parent company, NatWest, his political views did, in fact, play a part in the closure of his account. Furthermore, an investigation led by Farage found that almost 90,000 individuals are estimated to have been categorized as, quote, politically exposed persons, unquote, by British banks. These include members of parliament and other political figures and activists deemed to be at risk of abusing their positions for private gain and who require extra checks. Other figures from the Financial Ombudsman Service show that NatWest, which is 39% owned by British taxpayers, had the joint highest number of complaints about unilateral decisions to close bank accounts last year, joining British banking conglomerate Barclays. To resolve the debanking issue, Farage said he would like to see a royal commission set up to examine the problem, quote, provided it happened quickly, unquote.
And Lou, I think we must move on. I think
All
there
right.
were some other banks closing quickly. Is there a headline there of another? Is that in this country?
Well, we have one.
Just quickly, a headline.
Headline 666, Cashless System Update. Federal Reserve announces July launch of central bank digital currency.
Oh, now, this is what we want to get to. And if we don't get all of this talked about, because these CBDCs are so important, but was there nothing, again, about some accounts being closed, some banks in this country?
I don't think there was.
Okay,
no.
Fine. Now, let's get the latest from the Fed here. And again, next week, Blue will complete this important report, and we also will have some very important plandemic things going on that we must bring to you, an update on that, so you don't want to miss that program. Go ahead, Lou.
Yes, this appeared on SkyWatchTV.com, April 23rd, 2023. The Federal Reserve on Wednesday announced a July launch of its FedNow service, which will enable all U.S. banks to offer instant payments 24/7 and will constitute the infrastructure of a central bank digital currency, CBDC, by linking each banking node directly to the Federal Reserve, according to financial experts. While Federal Reserve Vice Chair Lael Brainard maintained during a House of Representatives Committee on Financial Services hearing in May that a CBDC could take 5 years to launch due to needed security and design features, she added that FedNow will still serve many of the same functions as a CBDC, according to the financial news outlet. Financial advisor Joe Brown has warned that FedNow serves as the foundation or, quote, infrastructure, unquote, for a CBDC, bringing the country only a step away from development of a central bank digital currency once the FedNow system is fully functioning.
And
we have some other
Lou, I've got to interject there.
Yes.
That, again, we pray here at the Divided Kingdom that God in his mercy will prolong the time that we can use cash. And I interject here that we applaud the Austrian chancellor because he proposes enshrining the right to use cash in his country's constitution. And this was August the 7th by Ramon Tomey, this leader is Chancellor Karl Niehammer, and he said on August the 4th that more and more people are concerned that cash could be restricted as a means of payment in Austria. People in Austria have a right to cash. Everyone should have the opportunity to decide freely how and with what they want to pay. That can be by card, by transfer, perhaps in the future, also with the digital euro, but also with cash. This freedom to choose must and will remain. So he is getting his finance minister to work on this proposal, and they say here that cash remains more popular in the country of about 9.1 million than in many other places, with Vienna saying that 47 billion, and it has their money mark, which means 51 billion here, are withdrawn from ATMs in Austria every year. And, of course, at home here, the article says, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has also stood for the right to cash. His pushback was in a different manner, however, as he signed a bill banning central bank digital currency, CBDCs, issued by the federal government for use in the Sunshine State into law. And he said some words about that, that the Biden administration's efforts to inject a CBDC is about surveillance and control. He said that in a press release. And he says a federal control over CBDC would allow government officials to see all consumer activity and even cut off consumers' access to certain goods and services. I think perhaps that was part of his quote. It's not clear in this article or whether the author wrote this. Now, the quote again is definitely DeSantis. I think with CBDC, this is a wolf coming as a wolf. This is something that will be a massive transfer of power from individual consumers to a central authority, and that's just fundamentally antithetical to a free society. And we would point out again that God can delay things. I remember reading, I think, in the late 1970s about the coming barcodes, and I think I'm going to sneeze. Oh, I think I'm allergic to all this tyranny. So at any rate, these barcodes, there was fear expressed then. They were really imminent, but it took a long time after the 70s for those barcodes to get on all our products. So you see, God can do things, but you are going to want to know all these interesting things that Lou has about the CBDCs and what may be coming. So we would urge people to use cash. You know, we've heard some other patriots. We didn't like the sound of this. They were really promoting all the digital currency, and they were saying to stop using cash, and they're kind of looking forward to the crash of all of the money. We don't have that attitude at all, do we?
No, not at all. I think when the day comes when it's digital, you're going to someday come to the computer and find out, oh, they hacked it all out. You're broke.
That's right. And it'll be a tyranny on steroids. And, these people who are looking forward to rebuilding. This is like Don Quixote in the windmills, isn't it? They think
Yes. Once
it all crashes, why, there won't be any chaos or problem. We'll just do our own individual money, and we'll have our little local things. What kind of government precedent have we looked at with Waco, the Murrow Building, September 11th? Do we really think the government is going to let us rebuild all these things? When we've heard that there were hundreds of health food doctors who disappeared from 2015 on, did the government let the cancer cures get out? Why, yes, I guess we're all living in a utopia, aren't we? Not really. And if you value this news, we ask you to pray for our provision, our protection, and if you can help us, please do. And we pray for all of you out there, especially Mary. Tonight, we're praying for Mary and have a lot of gratitude in our heart for Mary. And we have a lot of gratitude for a woman who never hears our program but has helped us since about 2006. Dear Kathy, our friend, good night.